It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm very grateful to Stella and the committee for inviting me and for their encouragement to have UKEIG, the UK Electronic Information Group, to be, we were involved in the session yesterday, and I hope that in 2 years' time, UKEIG have an even bigger role to play in this fantastic organisation. I'm going to talk about a particular boundary today that gets me really wound up, so I might get quite emotional. If you're wondering why I'm wearing a tie, all will be revealed in about 20 minutes. It's not just because you're lovely people and I'm a keynote speaker. It actually has function, and you're now worried about what that function's going to be. I'm unusual as a speaker because I offer a lifetime guarantee. The lifetime guarantee says that at any time you come across my presentation or you remember the presentation, which is doubtful, but nevertheless, and you've got a query, email me. Ask me, what did you mean about that? Why did you say that? The only thing I'll say is that it is a lifetime guarantee, but my lifetime is gradually coming to the end. So don't hang around if you've got any questions. So, where do we start? Oh, the other thing I should say is, although I'm a visiting professor at the iSchool at Sheffield, I'm very honoured to be one, this has not been approved by my peers. And indeed, Paul Clough, who's sitting down here somewhere, if he suddenly goes... steam comes out of his head, you'll know that maybe I'm not quite on tune with Sheffield, but they're a fantastic bunch there. So, this is the back of my business card. As a consultant, you have to use paper wisely, so I have stuff on the back as well as the front. And that's basically what I do. I'm in the internet's business, and 2 years ago I wrote the Information Management Handbook. If anyone gets that in the raffle, very happy to sign it. It'll cost you $15,000 to get my signature. And Enterprise Search on the back, on the other side, which I published last year. And if you've ever wondered, if you've ever seen an O'Reilly book and wondered about the colophon on the front, the author does not get to choose it. It's the design department that chooses it. And this, they've got a sense of humour in California, is a purple martin. Oh, very good. Very good. I'm a chemist by training. I then came back to chemistry in 2002 when I started working a lot with the Royal Society of Chemistry. I'm an information scientist, I'm a visiting professor, and I'm an organist, and I can rabbit forever on search. So that's a bit about me, and I've been running my own consulting business since 1999, and it's fascinating stuff. 2 years ago, I did something I very rarely do. I worked for the European Commission. When I set my business up, I said there were two things I will not do. I will not work for the European Commission. I will not work for central government. Well, I broke my rule on this one because it was fascinating. Enterprise Search and the European Union, a techno-economic analysis. We finished it in October 2011 and it was published 3 weeks ago. It has got slightly out of date in between. But it did enable me, with the European Commission behind me, to ask people questions that they couldn't say, we won't tell you. The weight of the European Commission came down on them. And a lot of what I'm going to talk today is actually in this report, and the link is there, it's a free download, but I have to say some of the bits about technology and industry have moved on in the last couple of years. But that's very much what I'm talking about in this piece of measure. So, let's go back to the beginnings. I was prescient when I put this up because Doug Engelbart died on the 2nd of July. And Doug Engelbart basically was the father of search. Everyone thinks about him as the person who invented the mouse and real-time computing and all sorts of stuff. But back in 1957, he and Charles Bourne wrote a think piece about finding technical information, which is still the definitive think piece on how to find information. It's equivalent to Vannevar Bush's paper in Atlantic Monthly in 1946 on the Memex. Do hunt down Bourne and Engelbart. And basically back in 62, and in particular 63, they started working on real-time search. So it's 50 years old this year and it's still rubbish, as I will prove. The other very important person is Gerald Salton, who was at Cornell. He was working on his SMART system around about 1965, which eventually became the vector space model for information retrieval. Another very important person. And again, we're going a long way back. Search is a very old enterprise application. And finally, big data is not new. John Macy at Silicon Graphics was talking about it in 1997. He first used the term, probably, big data and the implications. So that's 1997. So when we get all excited about search and Google and all this stuff, actually it's very old. But somehow or other, it hasn't become mainstream. So what's enterprise search anyhow? Since I've written a book about it, I should know. Well, the answer is no one quite knows. It is not one monolithic search application. Most organisations actually have multiple search applications, they just don't know they've got them. They've often find them inside applications that don't say search, but there's a lot of different search applications. And I think we're gradually getting to the stage now that we have to live in a world where there will be, inside organisations, multiple search applications. The last couple of years have seen most of the big vendors bought. HP bought Autonomy, and they're still working out why and for how much. IBM bought Endeca, IBM bought Vivisimo, Oracle bought Endeca. What's happened is that some of the bigger independent commercial search vendors have vanished. Because, of course, the rhetoric is, we're going to keep them as an independent business unit. Nothing will change. Within a week, the Vivisimo blog had vanished inside IP. I think the most exciting thing, and one of the key things about the presentation this morning, is open source search. Apache Lucene, Solr, Elasticsearch. I love the idea of Elasticsearch. It's a very up-and-coming open search application. If you're in the UK, it runs the gov.uk site. A lot of interest in an open source search. And there's a big shift from moving from just commercial, the IBMs, the Autonomies, the Googles, into an open source environment. And this is incredibly important in terms of information retrieval research. In most organizations, IT own search because they can polish the server and say, yes, it's still worrying. But normally IT have not got a clue about what it's indexing, what it's crawling, what it's doing, who's using it, because, well, it works, doesn't it? So there's a big problem here in organisations between the people who run it and the people who have the budget for it and the people who own it. Because by and large, IT don't need to search for anything. They've got the world's most organised shared drives. As we know, when we phone up for someone from IT and say, can we have the current policy on? Just a minute. I'll be back to you. This is the information paradox. Over the last couple of years, there have been a lot of good surveys. SAP, IBM, Accenture, MarkLogic, Symantec, and a number of others, who've actually researched how information is being accessed inside organisations. How critical is it finding the information to your organisation's business goals and success? This comes from a company called Findwise, who, the last couple of years, have been doing a survey of information findability. It's not just search, it's findability. And what you see is that about 75% say it's either imperative or significant. This is about what all the surveys say. About 75% of people you talk to in an organisation say, without information, we cannot do our business. Isn't that gratifying? Isn't that great? Don't we feel powerful? There's a flip side, and this is the paradox. Because only 15% can find the stuff. So 75% say it's very important, and only 15% can find it easily. Now, finding it difficultly is not a good idea. There's a lot of interest at the present moment in information risk management, which is making sure people don't walk out with floppy drives and laptops and all sorts of stuff, and that we don't get hacked and all, oh, it's fantastic, information risk, absolutely. And then I say, but if you're... employees can't find information because you've forgotten to index the server that's on, surely that's lost as well. Yeah, I suppose it is. So what are you going to do about it? I don't know. I was at a conference in New York in May when Pfizer, everyone heard of Pfizer? Big company, lots of money, lots of money. They said that 25% of the queries that people posted on their enterprise search system came with zero hits. Why? Because they were queries that could only be satisfied by the HR repositories or IT. Neither of those were indexed by their master enterprise search. So in Pfizer, 25% of people found it very hard to find anything about HR or IT. This is Pfizer, who basically have got a lot of money. So if Pfizer can't do it, doesn't say much for the rest of us. And then, of course, along comes big data. The entire search community suddenly discovers it's in the big data business. because actually search software can do a very good job at searching through structured data. And one of the things now is that universities are doing big data courses. You know, scarcely a day goes by when we've got a new data course. You come and learn all about it. The key thing is the big data with enterprise search is rubbish, because you can do all the data analysis you like. It doesn't solve the problem. It only tells you where the problem is. It doesn't tell you how to solve it. You know that more of your cars are breaking down in Kuwait than any other Gulf state. But you don't know until you look at the engineers' reports and the production reports and the quality system reports and the user surveys, which is often in textual format, how you might go about solving it. And you certainly don't know in general whether your BMWs are breaking down more than the Mercedes are. So big data, yes, good. But big data without being able to understand the rest of the context of the information repositories is terrible. And this is a survey which says basically 60% roughly think it's very useful to have big data and enterprise search. Only 2% are doing it at the present moment. Not very good, really. So don't get too hell on. You can guess I'm a little cynical about big data. I love this. This is my favourite slide. This is from Oracle, who did a survey last year that said 93% of executives see their organisation losing revenue as a result of not being able to fully leverage the information they collect. On average, they estimate this lost revenue to be 14% of annual revenue. 14% of annual revenue goes down the tube because you can't find the information. And as Alan, who looked at my, Alan Gilchrist, who looked at my slide, said, how many surveys have we seen like this over the year? You know, like,
too many.
Forever, you know. But the nice thing about Oracle is everything that Oracle says has to be correct. And so I always put this in front of IT departments, particularly if they're using Oracle software, because there's nowhere to hide. You know, wow, 14%. I said, even if it's a factor of 10 out, you're still losing 1.4%. And in the current economy, that's still money. So it's not a very good situation. Do you wonder that the search team feels like that? And you think, but there's only one person there. Yes, because in most organisations, there only is one person running search. So this is a piece of software, this is an application that's searching every single piece of information in theory. FISA is an exception. So everyone is using it, but only one person is looking after it. You say that cannot be true. So being a scientist, here's the evidence. Right? 50% of organisations, this again comes from the Findwise survey, over 51, I think it's 51.2%, have less than one person running a search. And by and large, these are all largish, not necessarily corporates, but they are large. Let's say by and large, they've got 5,000 plus people. Now at the top, you've got people with 12 to 20, that sort of area. And I know, for example, that J.P. Morgan, Johnson & Johnson, Ernst & Young, many particularly professional services or large pharma companies do have that level of investment. But by and large, no one looks after search. And that's really a great concern, because search is complicated, and it's getting worse. Look carefully at this slide. It comes from the Aberdeen Group. The purple is last year. The blue is this year. Unable to use unstructured data. Last year, 21% of the survey managers said that they had problems there. It's more than doubled in the 2013 survey. Poor data quality is impacting decisions. Has grown from 18% to 34%. Right? So it is getting worse, and that's the shift in 1 year from a pretty reputable survey company. So, hold on, what's happening with search? What's happening with our problems of finding information? You know, we're sitting here saying we've done search for 50 years, and I said that's, you know, it still doesn't work. Well, actually, the technology works, but the way it's made to work in organisations is not working. And search is actually very complicated. This is the inside of SharePoint 2013. It's a highly modular application. You've got all the crawls and the profiles and all the stuff down the left-hand side and content processing and everything. If you're in the information retrieval community, you say, wow, that's really good. Look at the power of that software. If you're in enterprise search, you say it's rubbish, because actually SharePoint only indexes SharePoint. Most of the functionality doesn't work if it indexes anything that's not in SharePoint. And PDFs are not owned by SharePoint. They're not owned by Microsoft. They're owned by Adobe, and Microsoft and Adobe don't like each other. So if you want to index PDFs with SharePoint 2013, tough. You've got to go and buy another bit of kit. So there's a difference here with understanding, if you like, the technology and the logic behind search and actually making it work in a real-life situation. So let's look a little bit at modern information retrieval. This is the definitive book. Okay? It has, and I've read them all, of course, 912 pages. Only it's not the definitive book. Because there's only 5 pages on user interface design, and they're illustrated with some screenshots taken in 2004. And there's nothing about named entity recognition, which is crucial to finding names, places, times, all sorts of stuff. You've got it on your telephone, because it shows the links into times and places like that. It's not in here at all. And in fact, if you wanted to have a decent collection of books on search, with an emphasis both on IR and enterprise search, you'd have to add another 6 to 8 books on top of that. There are 3 alone on search user interfaces, one by Marty Hurst, one by Max Wilson, University of Swansea, I think still, is he?
No, he's in Nottingham.
Nottingham, thank you. And another one by Tony Russell Rose and Tyler Tate that came out last year. And frankly, they are having problems putting all this complexity into a book. But the strange thing is, you can't do a degree in information retrieval. And imagine anyone starting to be a member of a search team, walking into a company and the IT man saying, look, just read through that, will you? You know, just mark it up, tell me what I should know. Because search really is not an easy thing to get to grips with. And when enterprise search people talk about relevance, what they mean is, we want the document at the top of the results list which people couldn't find on the document management system or the internet. That's what they mean by recall. And it's getting very complicated. These are just typically some of the search applications you will have in a decent-sized business. You'll be looking at search-based applications, search sitting behind an application. Activity search, which is monitoring multiple social media tracks going through across the company. Enterprise search, big data, content analytics, text mining. Mobile search. And mobile is a whole new area. Because if any of you have used a conventional search engine, you know you've got all these filters and facets and stuff down the side. How are you going to get that onto a mobile interface anytime soon? And it gets more interesting. Because what is clear is that people may do a search on a PC and then move it to a tablet and then move it to a mobile phone and then move it back, cross-device search. So there's a lot of complexity here. Social search, annotations of search, and being people may say, that's a great result, that's not whatever. There's a huge amount of technology already out there, a lot of which does not link together. I've put them as though they're blurred, but in fact, often they're very different applications. There is a bit of a problem, and it's summed up by enterprise search and a barrier with information retrieval. Now, I told you 20 minutes in I'd explain why I'm wearing a tie. I have not worn this since 1970. This is BSc Honours Chemistry Almost Failed, University of Southampton. And there's a little label inside that says, you're lucky to get this, go and be an information scientist. Right, so I'll be an academic. I'll come across this side. I'm an academic. I'm going to do IR research. And in general, and I'm going to be very general about this, so please don't shout, it's different in my university, it almost certainly is, that's why universities are fun places to be. But by and large, I deal with nice controlled collections. They are reasonably small. What, Paul, a couple of gigs will probably be exciting, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas I've got at least one client that has got 60 terabytes of information in a Lotus Notes database, 11,000 of them, and has no search application. Why? Oh, well, because people know where they put the information. Okay, yeah, you can tell why he's the chief information officer. Anyhow, getting funding is difficult. But when you've got it, you basically know you've got it. Next thing is that those collections don't change over time. Because by and large, you've got it, you stick it, and you do all sorts of things. I'm still wearing my hood. If you get zero results, you think, that's interesting. I wonder why I got zero results. But I'll put it into the database because it shows that obviously there's a range of results I can get out of this. And you work as a team. You know, and one of the great things, I'm on a Sheffield promo, is that you can talk to Elaine, all sorts of people about the problems you've got. And there's a great multidisciplinary approach. Because actually the nice thing about Sheffield is, as you walk downstairs and computer science are down there, they don't understand what IR is, but they're nice people. So IR is a very interesting area, and I characterise it in universe terms by being Big Bang. Because there's a huge amount of interest going on there, and I'll show you how much later on. Right, come back this side, take this off. Now, enterprise search. Yes, I'm probably seeing terabytes of information coming into any given database on any given day. I can't control it. It's a dynamic environment. Funding. Look, there's only one of me. Am I going to get another two or three people to do research on these collections? And do I have the techniques and have I got the right sampling and all this sort of stuff? And if I get no results, it's not just interesting, someone could be injured because I couldn't find the document that set out how they should use that particular bit of equipment. So actualized search is usually used in enterprises when all else fails. So if search fails, we have a problem on our plates. Because believe you me, search inside an enterprise is such a mess that you don't use it unless you really have to. And then when you really have to, you don't know whether it's not been indexed correctly, whether your query is correct. What language might it be in? And Paul, you're talking about multiple languages later on. But actually, multiple language search is a big problem. Because particularly when you get to Chinese, Korean and Japanese, you want to go away and die somewhere very quickly, just trying to understand the complexity. And yet, if you're in most commercial companies now, have significant amounts of Chinese information wafting around the place. Because believe it or not, when you're manufacturing in China, they do not write in English, they write in Chinese. So let's wander on. The IR community is concerned about this. It's much more concerned about it than the enterprise search community is. And there's a very good paper by Kaarvo Järvinen, who was professor of information science at Tampere. Charming man. We gave him the Strix Award a couple of years ago. And he was the most hospitable man I've ever met. But I was taking a statue of an owl to Tampere. Get that through customs? That was interesting. One of the things he highlights, descriptive empirical studies. If we want to be scientists in addition to being engineers, we need to understand the phenomena we're dealing with. What he's saying is we need to understand how search is being used. And it's not Jess Yarvin, who's an amazing man. But there was a conference in Australia in early 2012 about the challenges to information retrieval. And what came across here was, again, understanding search in the workplace. Now, earlier on when I was wearing my funny hood, getting IR and enterprise search people to talk to each other, they really do talk very different languages. But the IR people at least begin to understand that there's a huge amount of interest there. And indeed, one of the best chapters in this book is by a man called David Hawkin, who was an academic in Australia, and actually, for an academic, created a very powerful piece of software called Funnelback, which is actually used by University College London as we speak. And that his section on enterprise search stands out like a little beacon, because you read it and you realize he doesn't reference anything else in the book, because everything he's talking about is not in the book. And you almost feel at the end, I'm just going to say, we need to do research in this area. So I think the IR community does begin to realize that there are some needs there. Now, actually, in the UK, we've been very good at IR. These are just some of the names. Stephen Robertson, Kiefen Reisbergen, and Martin Porter at Cambridge, huge amount of work on probabilistic indexing and searching. Someone about Karen Spark-Jones with term document frequency, inverse term document frequency. I mean, that was amazingly intellectual, important work, and is used now all the time in search. You've got Mike Lynch of Autonomy and Martin Porter, who was actually just as clever but wasn't the salesman with Muscat. And Martin Porter did some fundamental work on stemming. I still don't know why his stemmer is called Snowball. Perhaps someone can tell me, but anyhow. Cyril Cleverdon, I had the privilege of meeting. I went to some of the Cranfield conferences. And he basically, you know, really got to grips with his collection of test collections and how you rigorously use those to evaluate performance of systems. Mike Lynch and the cheminformatics team and others got into an area that is incredibly important now in pharmaceuticals, this whole area of structure search and structure retrieval. And over the years, City, UCL, Sheffield, Glasgow, and some others there that I haven't named, and I apologise, have done some very interesting work in IR. Glasgow now has a piece of software called Terrier. Why do you want to call your software Terrier? I suppose it's no worse than calling your software Elasticsearch. At least you can remember the name. So UK have made some distinguished contributions. But the scale of the research that is being done is colossal, and it's not getting into enterprise search. This was a paper in the communications of the Association for Computing Machinery on sentiment analysis, which highlighted over 7,000 articles have been written on sentiment analysis. Sentiment analysis actually is very important. I don't think we got to grips with it yet, but it's basically saying, if I look at this collection of call center reports, are they basically complaining? Are they happy? Are they not happy? Have they got some great ideas? And when we're getting the volumes of information that we have, for example, in call center transcripts, you need something like sentiment analysis. And it's not just this. This comes from the digital library, and I've just done some top-left sentiment analysis within the digital library of the ACM, which you can also get to, by the way, from the British Computer Society, if you're a member. 5,000 items. Entity extraction. Remember, nothing in here. Ah, well, the digital library has 19,000 references to entity extraction. Information retrieval, 159,000 items in the digital library. And actually, one of the great organisations you need to belong to is the Special Interest Group on Information Retrieval, SIGIR, because it is probably the definitive collection and conference organisation in this area. And semantic search, 81,000. There is a colossal amount of research being done around the world into some very interesting areas indeed. To most enterprise search people, what the heck are you talking about? My job is to get the company policy on paternity leave at the top when someone puts the words in, because we don't know which department owns it. So the opportunities are enormous, but they're just not talking to each other. And everyone talks about data science. And this comes from a very clever guy called Brendan Tierney, who used to be with Oracle. And this is a nice sort of Venn diagram of all the elements that make up a data scientist. And we've got to teach data science. And so I've done something rather naughty. This is information scientist multidisciplinary. The only thing that changes is instead of artificial intelligence, I've put linguistics in. Because I think that's probably the biggest difference between data science and information science. Otherwise, everything else, databases, visualization, stats, pattern recognition, machine learning, data mining, are common. And yet, the chief information officer has fallen in love with data science because IBM tell him that data science is where the future is. And still understands absolutely nothing about the information science, the information retrieval side. So let's look at where we are. One of the things I was asked to do in the European Union study was basically to track down and define courses in information retrieval at undergraduate level. And there aren't any. You cannot do a 3-year course in information retrieval. In the UK, there are 20 courses on knitting and textile design you can do at undergraduate level. You can't do information retrieval. Now, I'm not saying that knitting and textile design is not important. My mother was a very good knitter. But the point is, in terms of economic impact, I'm sorry, but information is critically important. You know, if I'm going to push it to its limits, the problems we had with the bank collapses in 2007, 2008 was not a finance problem, it was an information management problem, because they didn't know what loans they'd given to what people. That's not finance, that's information. So actually, information has a very, very, in my view, very, very close link to economic performance. And there's a lot of work being done over the last 2 or 3 years which does link the performance of information into the performance of a company. And one of the classic works was done in 1999 by the Professor of Information Strategy Management at Lausanne, a man called Don Marchand, who wrote Competing with Information. And yet I find virtually no one has looked at that book or his book Information Orientation, which is nowhere near as good, and Making the Invisible Visible, which is again about information management. And if you go through Amazon and look for books on information management, and you look for only the ones that have got a 4-star rating, you'll only find one in the last 4 years. Now, if you want data management, you've got hundreds of them. But information management? One of the key things is that the importance of understanding what's going on in the IR area helps you understand where the opportunities may be to solve your problems in enterprise search. So not knowing where this is being done, and one of the problems is, I'm just going to jump to the bottom, it's very difficult to get hold of those papers. Now you may say, well, you can just go to British Library. How many companies know who in the company has got an account with British Library to even get hold of them? Yeah, it's very difficult indeed. And if you go through the Association of Computing Machinery Digital Library, as a member of ACM, I can download the ACM papers, and then this fantastic paper by someone doing some work, probably published, say, in Information and Management, it's an Elsevier journal. Sorry, click on it, it's $46. Now, I don't mind paying $46, because I have a pretty good idea that that will be a good paper. But the average search manager has not come up, like I have, through the peer-reviewed literature, understanding how to evaluate journals, looking at where the research was done, to say that's worth $46. They say, $46? What budget line am I going to put that to? What do you mean you've bought a paper on enterprise search? We've got Google. Why are you buying papers on that? You silly boy. You know. Amazingly, IT staff have no idea about information retrieval. If you look at most computer science courses, tucked down as one of the optional modules is a bit about information retrieval. Probably in most departments, 12 lessons? Yeah, something like that. Just so that when they get there, they can say, I understand what recall is. Yeah, well done, oh good and faithful servant. But by and large, they don't teach IR. There are only about 100 plus books on information retrieval. And the only one on enterprise search I've written. And every time I look at it, I think, oh, the stuff I've left out. And the perspective is a very different perspective. You have to understand a lot about why IBM do it this way, why Microsoft do it this way. It's very difficult to find. Because if you look at the books on the technology of SharePoint, guess who publishes the books? Microsoft. And Microsoft going to say, "Boo, you can't index PDFs." No, when you look at the Microsoft book on SharePoint 2010, they don't mention PDFs. You have to buy one of the only other books on SharePoint to realize you can't index them. And even then, you can only index them if they are conversions of Word files. If they were done with like Adobe PageMaker, tough, because it won't unpick the file. So we have a big problem that there's actually no view from the enterprise and it's very difficult to understand what's going on. How are we doing? Right. Why this is so important is that open source search opens a huge opportunity for information retrieval specialists. Because the commercial systems are very closed code. You cannot change anything. And usually you can't even find the man in the company who knows what's inside the box to get it to change. But with open source search, you can basically put all these modules together. It's all a baseline Java code in Apache or Elasticsearch. So there's an opportunity here to very quickly take great ideas from IR and stick them in an open search application tomorrow. The problem is often managers don't understand enough even about open source search. Here's a true story. Was it Leonard yesterday that said, you were saying people understand Boolean logic? Yeah, well, there's a large government organization that had a problem because it thought the results from its Apache Lucene search engine were not very good. Because they got lots of hits, but no one liked the results. So I was asked to look at it. And the problem was that they actually implemented logical or, not logical and, as the default. So I said, why have you got or? And they said, well, that's what the developers said was the standard default. And they couldn't understand and or. And these were intelligent people. I'm not being critical, but they just couldn't understand the difference in terms of search performance. So there's a huge opportunity here, but until we start to get enterprise search requirements and IR capabilities putting together, search is still going to be a bit of a disaster. And remember, it's getting worse all the time. So there's no undergraduate courses. And remember, you need to learn, you need to understand not all the maths in this. One of my problems with chemistry is I hadn't realised that chemistry was maths. And now I realise information retrieval is maths as well. And the minute I see an integral sign, I go, oh no, not another one. So there's a lot to teach and a lot of useful research that could be done by both sides. So computer science courses, and I say in general, the things that are missing from the IR courses will be stuff like business planning, search applications, understanding how search should be managed, things like log analysis, doing, you know, what often called gold collections, repeating queries over a standard collection. Most search, it's not that they don't know they should do it, it's also they've got not the time to do it. This is this half a person running search. The nice thing is that many universities do have IR research at MSc and PhD level, but the implications of not doing it at undergraduate level are interesting, because the search community cannot find the people it needs to develop the software and develop the applications. There's a brilliant software company in Germany called IntraFind, which has some very, very neat open source based software. Yeah, they have to take people who've got a maths background or maybe an engineering background and teach them IR, and it basically costs them, takes them an 18 months before someone can really understand how to make a search application work. This company only has 20 employees. Think of the business challenge of holding someone on a salary for 18 months before they're useful. Open source developers, by and large, can't keep up with going in IR because the developers don't understand where to go and find all this stuff. And yet Springer is producing typically 40 to 50 books a year on information retrieval. Morgan and Claypool do about 30 books a year. There's a huge amount of, and was it No Publishing, do about a dozen books a year. There's a huge amount being done and published, but it's not being fed into the enterprise side. So search teams do not know what's possible, and the IR people don't know what is needed inside the enterprise, and that's where the money actually is. Because funding for information retrieval search is mighty difficult to get. And if you've ever gone to an HR department and said, I need someone to be on our search support team. So what's all that about then? Well, it's about databases. Oh yes, we've got this bright thing from Cambridge with the computers. He knows about databases. Yeah, but these are different types of databases. Oh, it's all the same. You know, these computer people, they can learn anything. So we have a big problem. This is one of the things that came out of this EU study. A big problem because there are not enough people out there from the IR side to understand enterprise requirements, from the enterprise side to understand the fundamentals of information retrieval. And finding them and training them is a big challenge for basically small companies. So I have 3 minutes to do some actions. I think that universities, and actually, hey, Sheffield, we're working on it, aren't we, Paul? need to find courses, develop courses where, if you like, data science and information science are brought together, because there's a lot of commonality, but there's also some tips and tricks that both sides need to do. Crucially, enterprises need to make real test collections available. You only have to talk to David Hawkins for about a nanosecond to realise this is his passion in life, getting good test collections. How many are familiar with the Trek courses that take place in Gettysburg? Okay, now, I mean, they are collections, but they're like so far divorced from reality that it's not quite true.
Some of them are quite big.
Yeah, but they're big, but they don't change. I mean, they're not dynamic.
I understand what you mean. Yeah.
You know.
And what's slightly bigger than they used to be.
Oh, yeah.
But they are static.
They are very static. And the problem doing testing inside an organisation is you can't, it's very difficult to get that static collection. So enterprises need to be open to working to IR teams. And that's where actually conferences like this and organisations like ISCO could do a great job, just starting to bring people together. And actually, I think there's a scope for an interdisciplinary journal on enterprise search so that we start to put the very few papers there are about enterprise search and search applications, and there are some out there now, into an environment where actually the search community can read them. The IR community will find them. It's getting into the search community. Because even though the BCS does run, for example, there's the Information Retrieval Group runs a conference every year where there's an industry day. But that's the totally wrong approach. because actually all 3 days should be about industry and IR and everyone else in this business working and learning together, not allowing on the third day those nice industry people to come in and pay a bit more money so that we actually make a bigger profit. Anyone here from BCS? Okay. So, I'm about on time. I am doing my little bit. A couple of weeks ago I launched the Search Circle, which is the first ever subscription service for search managers. Basically, every month you get a newsletter and you get research reports on what's going on in the search area. And in there, I've been profiling, for example, IBM's search research. IBM, Microsoft in particular, and also HP, publish a huge amount of relevant research on information retrieval. The only problem is they say, we have tested this on a large multinational IT vendor. Oh, yes. So Microsoft had gone to IBM to test it. No. Microsoft had tested their own software on Microsoft staff. Not quite as rigorous as I might like it to be. So I'm doing my little best here. But I think there's a huge opportunity, and I would encourage ISCO UK. I think it's fantastic the way this organisation is trying to break down those boundaries. I think this boundary that exists between enterprise search and information retrieval is one that simply has to be broken down, because information is an economic good of industry and of states. And we're already seeing with little things like the NSA are doing, there must be an awful lot of good research being done in Langley at the present moment. So why not share a bit? Oh no, what's his name, Snowden? No, we've got no room for him in our company. So I think there are a lot of opportunities out there, and I encourage you as far as you can to try to see if you're in the search business, managing search, or in IR, just look across the wall and say, hello, can we shake hands and let's make fun together? So that's me. Questions, answers, brickbats, you may throw things at me, but I am good at darting out.